But in Deuteronomy 6, God's commandment to the children of Israel was to cast out the nations of the land where they were going. And that cast out didn't just mean to carry them over somewhere else. That meant to kill them. That meant to do away with them. The judgment for sin was death. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam that the consequence of sin would be death. And throughout the Old Testament, God used his people to judge the nations around them. But God also used those nations to judge Israel when they didn't follow God's directions. Death to the children of Israel was also a result of God's judgment. In the Old Testament, there was justice. In the New Testament, there was mercy. And when Jesus came, he came to bring life to man. John refers to Jesus as the source of life over 50 times in the book of John. This was something new. Jesus brought life and hope to mankind that hadn't been experienced on earth before. He taught his disciples and followers new concepts. He taught them that the law wasn't enough to sanctify them. It wasn't enough to clean them up from their sins. He taught them that they needed a heart change to experience the life that he came to give them. And Jesus not only taught non-resistance, but he also lived it. And his disciples, who became the apostles, also taught non-resistance, and they also lived it out in their lives. Second question, what is non-resistance? We'll look at Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In verse 38, Jesus recognizes the old way was to return evil for evil. And when they used this statement, you have heard that it hath been said, they were referring to former teachers, maybe even the preacher that had just talked, but preachers that they would have heard, teachers, rabbis. This was something that was commonly taught. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you experience pain and loss, you are allowed to cause pain and loss. That's the way that it had been. That's the way it was taught. But verse 39, he starts out with the word but. This was something different, something new. Jesus says, but I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. This is a new command. This isn't just a suggestion. This isn't an idea for the people to try sometime. It's a command. And there are a lot of churches today, a lot of people today that try to interpret this verse and however it works out best for them today. It's a commandment that a lot of churches ignore. And the doctrine of non-resistance is one of the biggest differences in Anabaptist belief and practice than many of the churches around us. You probably won't hear this subject in any community church this morning. But this is a command that as we examine Jesus' teachings in life, I believe we can understand without any doubt what he was actually trying to tell us, what he was teaching us. Sometimes when we try to understand something, if we look at the opposite, we can understand it better. Resistance is the opposite of non-resistance. And Jesus is talking about our physical life here. He's talking about what we can see, what we can touch, our property, our possessions, things that we have. might even be our time that is affected in our non-resistance. The world likes to believe that what they have is theirs. The Christian believes that what he has is God's. The world believes that they need to resist or fight to protect what they have. Jesus commands us to help others with what we have. In the 1800s, there was a man named Aidan Ballou that promoted non-resistance. And he was labeled as a Christian pacifist. And he was involved in a school for ministry in Massachusetts. And he is mentioned as being one of the only religious leaders at the time that did not promote taking a side during the Civil War. He also taught his students that they do not take part in any form of government. And he was not thought real highly of by a lot of people at the time. And he wrote quite a bit about his beliefs on the subject of non-resistance. And it's interesting, all the grammar, the words that have been lost in the last 150 years, because he was writing this over the time of the Civil War. The world's viewpoint, and this is what he says, this is what the world says: keep your distance, touch not my property, insult not my honor, infringe not my rights, assail not my person, be just and respectful, yield to my convenience and be my friend, or I will let slip the dogs of war. You shall feel the weight of my vengeance. I will inflict unendurable injuries on you, death itself, torture, imprisonment in a loathsome dungeon. Pains and penalties shall be your portion. I will do you incomparably greater evil than you can do to me. Therefore, be afraid and let me alone. As long as you don't hurt me, I won't hurt you. That is what the world says. And he didn't believe that. He believed that Matthew 5 meant what it says, and he was shunned because of it. But here's how he describes a Christian. But the Son of the Highest, the great, self-sacrificing, non-resistant, is our prophet, priest, and king. Though the maddened inhabitants of the earth have so long turned a deaf ear to his voice, he shall yet be heard. He declares that good is the only antagonist of evil that can conquer the deadly foe. Therefore, he enjoins on his disciples the duty of resisting evil only with good. This is the sub-principle of Christian non-resistance. Evil can be overcome only with good. Faith, then, in the inherent superiority of good over evil, truth over error, right over wrong, love over hatred, is the immediate moral basis of our doctrine. Accordingly, we transfer all the faith we have been taught to cherish in injury to beneficence, kindness, uninjurious treatment, as the only all-sufficient engineering of war against evildoers. No longer seeking or expecting to put down evil with evil, we lift up the cross for an ensign, and surmounting it with the glorious banner of love, exalt in the divine motto displayed on its immaculate folds, resist not injury with injury. Let this in all future time be the specific rule of our conduct, the magnetic needle of our pathway across the troubled waters of human reform, until all men, all governments, and all social institutions shall have been molded into moral harmony with the grand comprehensive commandment of the living God, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this was written during the time of the Civil War. He was promoting these ideas of non-resistance. And churches were ignoring this then already, and they still are today. As he wrote this in the 1800s, long time ago, but Jesus had taught this when he was on earth. In the doctrines of the Bible, it says that historians agree there were no soldiers among the Christian church for the first two centuries. But by the beginning of the fourth century, there had been enough drift in the church that Constantine made Christianity the religion of state in Rome. Is there any connection to the church losing its non-resistance and separation and the beginning of the Dark Ages? Back to Matthew 5, verse 40 and 42. You know, Jesus isn't asking us to give something away we don't have. And he also doesn't say that we will be treated fairly. No, Jesus says here that we may be even taken advantage of. How we respond in those situations reveals how much of our lives we have yielded to his control. And verses 43 through 48 show us the real difference between pacifism and non-resistance. Pacifism is against war, it's against violence. Non-resistance is also against war and violence. But the reason is because of the love of God in us. Not simply because we are against evil, but because we have love for those who are against us, love for those who are oppressing us. Non-resistance is love in action. Non-resistance is showing the love of God to each person, not just those who will return God the love to us. You know, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. Every day, it seems, sometimes. He makes the sun to shine on the good and the evil. He also sent Jesus to die for every person. In Leviticus 19, the children of Israel were told how they were supposed to relate to their neighbors. They were supposed to love their neighbors as themselves. This wasn't a new verse. This verse Jesus was quoting from Leviticus. However, in Leviticus 19, their neighbor was supposed to be their brother. They were not supposed to have heathen neighbors. And in Matthew, he is talking about the Christian having neighbors that are unconverted, the Christians that are not part of the church. These are not just their brothers that Jesus was teaching them they need to love anymore. And when we see a neighbor that has a need, we are supposed to at the very least, share God's love with them. And that will often involve something we have too, as in a physical supply or blessing that we have. And this is completely opposite of the world's viewpoint of relationships, because the world bases their relationships on what they can get out of them, not what they can give to them. What's in it for me, they ask. And that's so easy for me to do also, to show love to those that return it, to show judgment toward those who need to be shown love. Do I remember how much God has done for me when I'm deciding how much to do for someone else? Our actions, our thoughts, our motives toward our fellow man need to be based on what Jesus has done for me. But non-resistance is only in the natural part of our life. You know, we're on a spiritual battle that we need to be soldiers. We are called to be soldiers in our spiritual life. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, tells us how to prepare for that. Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." It tells us about the whole armor of God. Victory doesn't just happen. We need to prepare for the battle. And it's a daily battle. And we need to prepare to stand and fight, to resist the evil that the devil would like to place in our lives. Take spiritual victory in personal lives in order to be able to live like Jesus commands us in Matthew 5. The third question, who needs to practice non-resistance? And Matthew 5, verse 45 has the answer for that. Anyone who wants to be the child of God needs to practice non-resistance. And they also need to follow the rest of the teachings here in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 on the Sermon on the Mount. I believe there are people today that are not called to be non-resistant because they have not chosen to be a child of God. We would all agree that being part of the Army or the Navy or any part of the armed forces is not part of being a non-resistant child of God. We would agree that if someone is aspiring to be president, we would question if they are a child of God because of their view of non-resistance. Where is the line of separation between church and state? What about if we're serving in the Senate or the House of Representatives? How far down this list can we go and still decide that we are a child of God? You know, if we don't look at these questions, very well our children or our grandchildren could be filling these positions if we don't maintain where we stand on them. And we have current examples serving today in the Senate, in Congress, the House of Representatives. Congressman Lloyd Smucker, representing Pennsylvania, was born an Amish family in Lancaster County. He started out serving on the Planning Commission of West Lampeter Township, and you can go online and you can view his whole record of how he votes when there's a war being supported, whether it's on abortion, whether it's health care, you name it. Today, he is part of a Lutheran church, the church that is probably not teaching any separation of church and state, a church that isn't teaching non-resistance, and a church that evidently isn't teaching the whole Bible. All signs of separation and non-resistance in his life have disappeared. State Representative Dave Zimmerman, also from Lancaster County, is continually trying to mix church and state in his policies. He recently participated in the Day of the Bible celebration at the state capitol and was presented with a personalized First American Bible with his name engraved on the front cover. First American Bible was first printed in Pennsylvania in 1782, and it is the only Bible ever approved by Congress. And you know, this all sounds like a good idea. Isn't it wonderful that people in political places are promoting God's word? But Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You know, I don't know either of these men, and God is the final judge of each person, but somewhere the teaching and preaching on separation and non-resistance was lost. Where is a safe place to draw a line in serving our community? And I know that not every township supervisor winds up serving in Congress, but I just gave you a current example of somebody that did. Somebody that was born into a separated family at one time. What about serving as a judge? We would say no, they might be convicting, sentencing someone to death, or a sheriff, or a police officer. There are police officers in the United States today that have lost their job because they did not pull their gun on somebody that had a gun. God has instituted law and order, but he isn't asking his children to administrate that law and order. The kingdom we are part of as his children is not the same as the earthly kingdom these men are supporting and promoting. And Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom, and he isn't expecting us to either. There's a man that I've done business with, and my Uncle Bob knows him well. His name's Ike Benzel, and he has served in the Vietnam War. And he has had his friends killed beside him. And he does not understand how the separated kingdom of church and state works. He's like, we laid down our lives so you can have your church. Why won't you at least vote? He cannot grasp a two-kingdom concept. I tried to explain it. He says he tried to understand it. I'm sure we're still at a different point, different place in our beliefs. But do we know where we believe on non-resistance? Fourth question, how can I practice non-resistance today? How did Jesus teach us to live? And there are a number of instructions right here in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, meekness is a humble attitude that expresses itself in the patient endurance of offenses. Jesus was quoting Psalm 37, verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, a meek person doesn't ignore the offenses, but realizes that trusting God is the right response, not retaliating and causing more offenses. A non-resistant person is a meek person. Verse 7, chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy means to show compassion or forgiveness when it is in your power to demand justice or to demand punishment. You know, you can only show mercy to someone when they owe you something. When you show mercy, you give up something that is rightfully yours. There is cost involved to you when you show mercy. But a non-resistant person is a merciful person. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A peacemaker is someone who brings peace between two parties. A peacemaker is someone who reconciles adversaries. Reconciliation will not happen through continued violence. The violence needs to stop before peace will be a reality. And a non-resistant person will be a peacemaker. In verses 38 through 48 that we read earlier, these words are words of Jesus. If I believe them, how am I living them? What does a meek, merciful peacemaker look like in 2025? What does a child of God look like in 2025? You know, if you're in business serving customers today, sooner or later there will be some that are very slow to pay or don't pay at all. Are your terms and conditions such that you can show mercy? And one of the things about being a Mennonite is that there are some Mennonites that have given the community a reason to believe that our culture is all about making money and how much we can get for ourselves. But our testimony for Christ needs to be a lot more important than the dollar that we might receive. Our testimony for Christ needs to be more important than our bank account. And I realize that a business needs to take money in order to stay in business. However, we can go to somebody telling them to pay us what they owe us, or we can say, I noticed that you're having a hard time meeting your obligation here. Is there a way we can help? Is there a way we can make this easier for you? And you may build a relationship and gain a friend that you didn't have before. Am I showing mercy in the way I do business? As I said earlier, mercy will cost us something. I was in a Mennonite house. I don't know if the house was Mennonite, but they were Mennonites that lived there and had built it. And every room I was in, and I wasn't in the whole house, but every room I was in, there was a security camera in the corner. And I should have asked them what they were using it for, but I didn't. And I'm not saying that security cameras are wrong, but what is my goal in that? What am I going to do with the information I receive from those? Is it going to build relationships or is it going to ruin them? If I'm planning on keeping track of everything that happens and reporting it and prosecuting then I need a lesson on our resistance. How do we go about with our rental properties? Seems like a much better investment to put money in a rental property than it does into a vehicle or some other liability. But what if the tenant ruins the house? What if they quit paying? And what if they won't move out? Of a neighbor that wound up having to use the state police to remove the tenants from his house. And he said he'll never rent it out again. He did rent it to a Mennonite then later, but he said, I don't ever want to have to go through that again. You might say, well, the Mennonite way is to just use an agency and let them take care of all the dirty work. But is that the non-resistant way? Is it non-resistant to leave negative reviews on Google for a place of business that failed to meet our expectations? I will allow that there are businesses that shouldn't be in business, but I will also challenge you to contact them. Try to contact them and resolve the situation before you just leave a negative review. There are people that you wonder if they ever have a good day for the amount of negative reviews they have left on every business they have dealt with. Do the reviews that you are letting show the joy of the Lord in your life? Does non-resistance affect the way that I drive? There are people that are always in a hurry and are easily provoked. And you know, there's a challenging bumper sticker that reads, do you follow Jesus this close? And they probably don't mean it as a challenge, but it should be to each one of us, because if we're reading that, we are probably pretty close to them. You see people blowing the horn and yelling at people. Is that part of my life? You know, our driving might tell some people more about us than our words ever will. What about a concealed weapons permit? And I didn't research this a lot. There may be legitimate reasons to have one of these. But if you have a concealed weapons permit and you carry in order to protect yourself, you are not non-resistant. And according to these verses we read, I'm not sure how you can say you're a child of God. But there are pastors in Pennsylvania this morning that are carrying concealed weapons because they feel it is their duty to protect their church. What are they placing their faith in? What are they trusting in? And as I think about non-resistance, I believe the biggest reason we struggle with it is because of the selfishness in our lives. We want to protect what we have. And I forget that what I have is actually God's. What I have been entrusted with to take care of is a gift from God.